like a battlefield.
There's a battle for the soul of America.
We can't let him tear the kingdom down.
This is no game. This is war.
Flesh and blood. But it's between the bad and good. We can't stop until the trumpet sounds. This is war. Not a game we're playing. This is war.
The only question is, which side will you be on? It's time now for a call to decision with Pastor Butch Paul.
Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
Hello and welcome. This is Pastor Butch Paul, 10 December 2019. We're trying to get our guest up, Glenn Parnum. He's been hard to nail to the wall the last couple of months. People have been asking why he's not back on. We're going to have him as soon as possible. And so please, we'll get him as soon as you can. Anyway, I'm back. Sorry, I had just a second there. But anyway, just know that we're doing our best to get him up here as soon as possible. I mean, sometimes things, folks, on live radio go that way. Obviously, it did last night. But good to have with us tonight, no matter where you are and how you're listening. And don't forget, if you're listening on shortwave right now, just because, by the grace of God, Belly Seashrim helped us get on the air and on shortwave. And she's been a blessing in this ministry for a long, long time. Do call up sometime and talk to her, folks. Ask her for some direction, maybe what you should do to plan for your future the best you can at 800-375-4188, 800-375-4188. I know that that she'd love to talk to you and just share some things with you and just nothing else, just chat a little bit with you. So she's that kind of lady. She truly is. And again, well, honored to have with us tonight some stations join us again. As I mentioned last night, I want to do mention one more time because we're just thrilled that we were blessed with a gift from a listener out of Arizona. I passed away a few months ago. They sent on a gift she promised years ago to help us get on some more radio stations. And if one for Louise and Louise Rogers, who it was, one for her, we went up be on these stations. Again, we're on KTW, Spokane, Washington. And such a blessing to be on there on 6:30 a.m. and 96.5 FM at 11 o'clock p.m. Pacific time. That'll be changed the first of the year to 9 o'clock p.m. Pacific time, by the way. Good to be on at 11 o'clock tonight on WWCR on 3215 with the repeat broadcast. 3215 is a great, very good signal across the country, especially later in the year in the wintertime. Also, we started with KWDF AM, FM 840, AM 840, FM 99.7, Alexander Lafayette and Lake Charles, Louisiana. We start WCPC 940 AM and 105.7 PM FM on Tupelo, Mississippi, and KGMS 940 AM in Tucson, Arizona. We're so glad to have the station join us, and I do mean that. I hope that this program will be a blessing to you. And hopefully, I've been doing this for almost 27 years. Maybe things get a little smoother, and I'll get things right once in a while. Last night, my fault with the guest being late because I had the wrong number. Tonight, I don't know what happened with our guest, Glenn Parnum. He'd been hard nailed down. He'd been really busy. But nonetheless, he knew he was going to be on. I just talked to his secretary late this afternoon, and she reminded him, I hope, that he's going to be on tonight. So it happens, folks. It's live radio, and this is a talk radio show. And it's not all about me. I mean, your phone calls are important also. I want you to know that. If we don't get a guest, we're going to open the phone lines here pretty quick because I want to hear from you. I truly, truly do. And look at the book we're offering, Grand Design Exposed by John Daniel. Now, folks, that book is phenomenal. It isn't a book written to tickle people's ears and to make you feel all fuzzy warm inside. It's a book that exposes the truth of this nation, its founding, and the plans, we'll say, of the elite, even back in the 1700s, to bring forth this country for a specific purpose. Yes, we were blessed with some godly men, and blessed with the nation that was the most prosperous, blessed nation on the earth for a long time. And of course, forgetting God has turned us into a nation of chaos and utter, almost destruction of itself. You know, a nation generally doesn't fall from without, it falls from within. And that goes for about any great empire in the past. I don't care if it was Rome or Greece or where it may be. America is no different. You know, only a moral people can maintain liberty and maintain a society that is growing and prospering in peace and contentment. A lot of things have happened over my lifetime to change that, and it breaks my heart to see it. But we serve the same God, folks, we always did. Understand that. Nothing has changed. If those who love God and those who want to serve Him, nothing has changed. We still serve the same God. He hasn't changed His mind. He still loves us. His son paid the price for all of us on the cross of Calvary. He is quite able and quite willing to take care of us and guide us and lead us if we'll trust Him. It's a matter of faith and belief in the one who paid the price for us. So the nation itself, this whole society may be going the wrong direction, but we can make a choice. You and I get to make a choice. And sometimes I have to say this, and I'm saying this totally upfront and honest with you because that's who I am. I can't be anything else. Sometimes it's frustrating when you know you're doing everything you can to try to glorify your Father in heaven. And even though you fall short many times, and sometimes you do it even knowing you're doing it, it's gratifying to know that He's willing to forgive us and pick us up and help us move on. But sometimes it becomes frustrating. You see, when you've tried to talk to people and reach people for so many years, and by the grace of God, many have heard, but many more have ignored the warnings. You know, that shouldn't surprise us. It's Bible, I know it is, and people say, well, you can't fight prophecy. I'm not fighting prophecy. I'm fighting Satan and his minions. I'm fighting evil. I'm not here to fight God's word. That's foolishness. I know what it says, but I can't find anywhere in His precious word where He said, well, now, when you reach this certain point in time, just sit down and do nothing. I can't find that. I don't know that's in the book anywhere. I mean, I can't find it where He said, well, when the world gets this bad and you see these things happening, signs happening, you just give up and quit fighting. That's not in there. My job, your job, is to expose evil, to stand against evil, to do everything in our power to obey our Father in heaven. And if it costs our lives, then it costs our lives. And folks, it certainly could. American Christians have become so soft. We haven't paid a price for our faith for a long time. And that is changing. It truly is. It's changing. How quickly it's going to happen, how much worse it's going to get in the near future, I don't know. But it is changing. But many, many millions of believers around the world, in Muslim countries and in Hindu countries and other religious cults around the world, have persecuted and prosecuted Christians for their faith. And that will continue. But a nation as America, who was once rooted somewhat in the Word of God and blessed by His presence here, that turns it back on the Almighty, becomes really the most wicked people there are. And the ones who deserve the most judgment because they knew the truth and turned their back on it. But for the ones who are going to stay the course and not compromise, they're going to find themselves at odds against the rest of society. There's nothing that I can do about that except to tell you that make sure your faith is in Christ and you're rooted in His Word. I started teaching, I guess Glenn is going to make tonight, I'm sorry to tell you that, we'll reschedule him as soon as possible. But I started teaching this past weekend, and I hope and pray you'll watch on YouTube, you'll watch on DVD or CD, and folks will send them to you if you just call and ask for them. That's a donation, if you don't mind, I'll pay for them about $10. It's going to be 2 hours long. A teaching I'm sorry to say that I once believed myself and taught falsely and didn't mean to. The fallacy of easy believism. The fallacy. The falsehood of easy believism. I've heard it told me so many times over the years. You just believe and confess and that's all there is to it. You're born again. Oh, that just isn't so. It isn't so. Now, there's more to it than that. And I'm taking my time to go through the teaching to show that people. And to show what the difference is between what we say people are saved and those who are truly born again. And I'm going to offer that teaching when it's complete, probably sometime the first of the year, if you want to watch it. It's got a warning with it for all of us. It includes me. And I've repented of the fact that I was taught that easy believism, and I'm going to say this very kindly, but I'm going to say it just straightforwardly, from Baptist churches. No, I'm not preaching works at all. No, I'm not. I'm preaching the truth that true salvation, A born-again experience changes an individual from the inside out. But when that change comes in a world that's been so deceived for so long, and going further and further into darkness, when that change comes inside a true believer who understands what just happened to them, and they're willing to take a stand, and when they see what happens, it very well can mean the fact that persecution is going to come greatly upon them. And I know that is what people want to hear. I know this. It's more pleasant to think that, well, everything will be okay. We're just going to slide out of here. It's going to be okay. But that isn't true. It isn't true. Blessings of being a Christian are tremendous, beautiful, and wonderful. But walking as Christ did on this earth today will separate you from a lot of things. And people you thought that would be friends the rest of your life are just not going to be there. And it hurts me. It really hurts me. Over the years of being a pastor, both in local congregations and on the radio, I have experienced a lot of different situations, different circumstances come up that had to be addressed. And I think probably one of the most prominent ones that I had to work with are people that are bitter and angry and very impatient with other people. And sometimes that includes me, and I repent of that also. You know, there's a difference between being patient, being foolish. When a child is learning to walk and they stumble, but they're trying to walk, you don't kick them to the side and tell them to get out of your way, that you're through with them, they're stupid, they're idiots, and they're not worth anything. You don't do that. That's not how you teach a child to walk. You pick them up when they're crying, you pick them up when they're dirty, you dust them off, and you move them on down the road, help them walk them down the path a little ways, and you're patient with them. We as believers, true believers that are rooted in the Word of God, have to know that people out there, that even those who are going to church, a lot of them are still seeking a deeper walk with Christ. And we, if we are have had the experience, are the ones to take them by the hand and lead them on through. They've been taught by denominations and denominationalism a lot of things that may be false, as I was. But our job as true believers is to pick them up and dust them off and help them move on. That doesn't mean that we stay with someone who doesn't want to learn. We don't cast our pearl before the swine. If the house doesn't receive you, you shake the dust off feet as a witness against them and walk out the door and go to another house. But that doesn't mean that we don't stay with the course of those who want to learn. No matter they fumble and they stumble and they make mistakes and sometimes really, we think, stupid mistakes, if they're trying, we got to work with them. And if anything that our God in heaven has taught me, our Father's taught me, is it took a while, folks. Patience. Patience is not something that you always want to ask for, because it can come through a lot of trials. Patience. But patience is given to those who ask. And if you have to go through trials to get it, then so be it. Patience with others is an important virtue. Long-suffering, the Bible calls it. It's one of the fruit that's given to those who are born again. That doesn't mean, that again, that you waste time with someone who doesn't want to hear the truth. But someone that's wanting to learn and just coming on board, you're patient and long-suffering. And that's something that we all must learn as we grow in Christ. When I begin to get impatient, a little bit frustrated, maybe a little bitter sometimes, that's possible. Be over really nothing. And I stop and realize just how patient, long-suffering, and caring my Savior has been for me. You know, folks, when I was off track before I ever knew who He was, He didn't have to keep me here. I could have been taken out of this world. Many people have been that didn't know who He was. And after I come to Him, oh my, the growth I've had to go through. But He didn't kick me out and say, boy, you're an idiot. He may chasten me a little bit and say, now come on now, you know better than that. Look at this. That's the patience we should have with each other. And I'm talking to all new people tonight on these new stations. I know I am. But folks, this is not something that we should take lightly. Being a believer in Jesus Christ, being a believer in the Son of the Almighty God, a part of the three-in-one God, we call it, triune God, Trinity. Being a part of that, and knowing that Jesus Christ, Yeshua the Messiah, died on the cross of Calvary for me. Do you know that if you've been the only person in the world, he would have still died for you? His love is that great. But he died for all men, everywhere, all colors, all races, all creeds, that would trust in him and the price he paid on Calvary and give their life to him in complete summation. Those are the ones that he is patient with and leads through this maze that we call life. And I hate the Glenn's. I'm sorry, Glenn's not here tonight, but there's a reason for it. I know this. I've finally learned after all these years that nothing happens by chance in a believer's life. I do not believe in coincidence. I don't. For some reason, Glenn's not here, and this reason probably that I'm talking to somebody tonight that needs to hear this. And one of the main people I had to be patient with. With myself. Now, you may not understand that. Maybe you're not that kind of person, but I'm hard on me a lot. I really am. I want me to get it and get it now. And I know that I'm a perfectionist, even in my own life. As my wife says, I'm a type A personality. I get teased a lot by the girls in the office from time to time because I say, I like to get this done. And they'll say, well, now he wants it done right now. And I say, I never said that. They say, we know you. When you say it, you want it done right now. And that isn't always the truth, but I know what they're saying. Because when I see something needs done, I go after it. And I expect for myself to get it right. And I become impatient myself if I don't. Then I had to learn something. I'm only a man, too. I'm only a people. I'm nothing special. I'm not even all that intelligent. So if my Savior could be patient with me, then I'd be patient with myself and others. I've seen so much in the past 40-some years I've been a pastor and a preacher of what anger and unforgiveness has done to a lot of people, even those who are believers. Now, I won't say they are. I'm not going to say they're not. I can't tell that. But if Satan can get a root of bitterness in you and a root of anger in you, he can destroy your Christian walk. He can destroy your witness and hurt many people around you. I've seen it happen so many times. If we don't have a peace inside us and a joy inside us and a contentment inside us and a hope and love inside us that the world doesn't exhibit, then what do we have the world doesn't have? And who wants what we have if it's no better than what the world has? If we don't have the joy of Christ in us to the point that we can allow others their faults and grow together. You know, the Bible said love covers a multitude of sin. What that means is it doesn't forgive sin as far as saying it's all right to do it. But love knows that people sometimes make mistakes. And they're willing to forgive and come back as one and work as one in the body of Christ. That's what that's all about. We live in a time of confusion, frustration, anger. Look at this nation. Look at the warring factions and even in the political parties today. Folks, I have seen children act better than some of these representatives we have in office today. I've seen children who behave themselves better and more gentlemanly and ladylike than a lot of these people do there in office. So we call our leaders. Those are supposed to be the ones who guide the country through hard times and make good decisions based on sound knowledge. Obviously, that's not true. And that's causing friction in so many different places. And then when you see what we call the leadership and the authorities of the nation, who are not only tolerating sin, outright abominations, but promoting that sin and abomination, it causes friction also. It has to, because the righteous cannot go along with evil. You cannot go along with evil and be righteous and stay righteous, folks. It's impossible. It can't happen. To do that means that you compromise with something that Christ warned us not to. You compromise with evil knowingly and then go along with it. What you've done is denied Christ before men. And that will lead to a hard time for you in this world and a worse time in eternity. Because he said, if you deny me before man, I'll deny you before my Father. And I read a few books. One of the statements I put in was, to tolerate evil is evil itself. To tolerate any evil, by the way, is evil itself. It's an evil. It's all evil. It's tolerate any evil is to tolerate all evil. And you can't understand that unless you understand what the Bible teaches us. I certainly do not know all that I need to know about the Scriptures, or understand all that I need to know about human relations, and I don't understand all that. I truly, truly don't. But I do understand one thing, that we have a duty, not a right, but a duty, to stand for righteousness. You know, Frederick Bastier wrote this, and he wrote a lot of good little books. One was entitled The Law. But he said, when law and morality contradict each other, the citizen has the cruel alternative of either losing his moral sense or losing his respect for the law. You follow what I just said? When civil law and morality contradict each other, the citizen has the cruel alternative of either losing his moral sense or compass, if you will, or losing his respect for the law. You say, Pastor, do you not respect the law in the country today? The laws that uphold righteousness and are against evildoers, I totally respect and uphold. The laws that call good evil and evil good, no, I don't respect that law. Nor do I respect the ones who enforce them as far as what they're doing. I don't. I can't. To do so means that we are part of that problem, that law, that negative, that evil. You know, a guy named Aristotle, you heard about him? One time said that what is passively accepted by a people in practices will tell more about what they embrace as good and true than all their verbal declarations to the contrary. In other words, talk is cheap. Talk is cheap. If our lives tolerate evil, if we turn our back against someone who needs help, and someone who's standing for what's right, and we don't want to get involved, we don't want to stand by them, then we ourselves, at best, are hypocrites. At best. Now, that's at best. It is just amazing to me that we're so quick to turn away from what we know we must do what's right. You know, G.K. Chesterton one time said, tolerance is a virtue of the man without convictions. Tolerance is the virtue of the man without convictions. So my conviction as a pastor is to encourage people, to explain to them that sin is still sin. You know, a lady named Dorothy Sawyer said, In the world, it is called tolerance, but in hell, it is called despair. The sin that believes in nothing, enjoys nothing, seeks to know nothing, interferes with nothing, lives for nothing, remains alive because there is nothing for which it will die. That's a true failure of so many people call themselves Christians. To give in to evil is a deadly and damning sin for not just the individual, but for the whole country, and for your children and your grandchildren. And we as Christians cannot allow the battle to harden us to the point that we no longer have a heart to reach those who are trying to struggle to make it. I just spent time talking to a young lady today, and I won't get into all details, I won't do that. Showing some scriptures to her about the life she's living, and she thinks she's a Christian. I pray that they took seed in her mind and heart. I didn't give her my opinion, I gave her the word. I can't throw stones at her because she's living in outright sin. When she says she wants to know the truth, I'm going to share the truth with her. I'll tell the truth. I told her that the sin that would take her to hell. That isn't being judgmental. That's just telling her the truth because I love her. These are things that Christians have to understand to do between cursing and cussing someone. The difference between that and trying to lead them is a big, huge difference. For someone who's living that lifestyle, who doesn't know it's wrong, my job is to explain to her the Word of God, to preach the truth. And the truth sometimes will cut and it will condemn. It will convict us of our sins. But my job is not to take stones after her right now, but to try to reach her with the truth. That's also your job. Don't think that just because you're not a pastor or preacher that you're here just to slide by and go to church, sing a few hymns, and put a couple dollars in the basket and say, well, I did my duty as a Christian. No, 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 not at all. Back at the break, folks, with your phone calls, too, at 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. Satan's army's come to kill. This is war.
Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men. 5 years ago, I had such chronic back pain that at one point I bought 3 mattresses within an 18-month period, hoping to relieve my lower back pain. I was only 40, and I hiked daily along with eating a fairly healthy diet. I was not overweight and didn't really have a reason for my back pain. As soon as I started using 3 sprays of Synergy One each morning, the pain immediately went away, and I've never had it again. I also use Synergy One before bed for a better night's sleep. Whenever my mom has back pain, I remind her to use Synergy One. Sure enough, she's all better after using it. I've probably given over 10 bottles away to friends with back pain. I take it when I travel and never miss a day.
Raising growth hormone levels to a more youthful level consistently results in deeper sleep, better energy and mood, fat loss, and the elimination of pain through the repair of injuries. Synergy One is guaranteed to improve the health of your body or your money back. Call 888-988-3325. That's 888-988-3325. Or visit synergisticuniverse.com.
Hello, folks. Pastor Butch here to tell you about our newest sponsor, a store food company that truly surpasses all the others for quality and flavor. Numana Storable Foods, the only storable food manufacturer that has all their foods grown in the USA. They are GMO-free, have no artificial sweeteners, no high fructose corn syrup, no MSGs, no chemical preservatives, and no soy. They are simply the best storable foods available for all the right reasons. Go to Numana.com or call 888-597-0775 and mention code Pastor Butch to get 10% off your merchandise. Again, Numana.com or call 888-597-0775. Mention code Pastor Butch for a 10% discount.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it: to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. Invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
This is war, not a game we're playing. This is war. wars. Just hear me what I'm saying. Pick up your sword and shield. Get on the battlefield. Satan's armies come to kill. This is war.
You know, folks, you can call if you like. I don't mind nobody's calling, but the line's open. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. That's 844-769-2944. And again, I'm saying these things tonight not to by any means be chastising anyone, but to encourage you, all of us, me too, look on the inside and make sure that we're walking where we should be in Christ, and that we are Christ-like. Christ was not a wuss. With the ones who come to him seeking truth, he was gentle and kind. With the ones, the self-righteous who come to him trying to put him down and trick him into saying something they could say he was a sinner for, he just told it like it was. He called what they were, hypocrites and whitewashed sepulchers and vipers. He said, you're children of the devil. You're the children of Satan. And these were the leading preachers of the day. These were the Pharisees and Sadducees, the so-called religious leaders of the church of the day. They were the ones having crucified. It wasn't the Romans. It wasn't the sinners, so to speak, although the Pharisees obviously were sinners. But it wasn't the ones that he reached out to and healed and taught. No, it wasn't. The so-called church of the day turned him in. Said he was trying to say there's another king but Caesar. And I see it happening in America today, by the way. I see the churches in America, the 501c3 corporations mainly, if you know what that is, take time to look it up, telling us we have to obey Caesar no matter what. Whatever he passes, we got to obey. That's what they teach. And get that Romans 13, which they teach entirely wrong and a very corrupted manner. That isn't what Romans 13 says at all. Not even close to it, but nonetheless, I can see a time coming, probably already is, when pastors and other Christians will say, well, that man's not obeying the law, and he's sinning, we got to turn him into the authorities. The Pharisees probably actually thought they were doing what's right, just like Paul did. You remember Apostle Paul? The Apostle Paul, you know, whenever he was on the road to Damascus and Christ appeared to him, and Paul was out doing his job, man. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was out doing, taking care of a business. He was out locking Christians up and having them killed and everything else. Paul was zealous for good works and zealous for God, but without knowledge. I do believe that a lot of the Pharisees thought they were actually doing what's right. They're only defending their religion and what they were taught from those that taught them. And when they come out of Babylon with the new laws written down, yeah, that's where the Talmud come from, folks, out of Babylon. And there were new laws written down that the ones that men too added to it, the Pharisees added to it. They just didn't write down the laws of God and his commandments. They added to it restrictions that no man can live up to. And because Christ tore down their playhouse and told them that you are your father, the devil. You're teaching from the laws of God, the doctrines of men. Boy, does that happen in the churches today or not? And you shouldn't do that. You can't do that. You're destroying people. He said, you're not only a child of hell, but you're making those that want to come into the kingdom, you're blocking a way for them. They can't even come into the kingdom if they want to because you're blocking the path. You're teaching false teachings. You know, I wrote something myself. Again, I've written a few books, but I wrote this in one of them. Truth doesn't always make you comfortable. It may very well fly in the face of all that you have been taught, lived by, and grown accustomed to, but it is still the truth. If you wish to remain honest and sincere in your actions and life, you must confront and conform to it. Truth is here to guide and direct and protect, not destroy. And if we become silent in the face of adversity, well, then we're not living in truth. And Dietrich Bonhoeffer, y'all remember him, don't remember him, but you know who I'm talking about from history. Since silence in the face of evil is evil itself, God will not hold us guiltless. Not to speak is to speak. Not to act is to act. So my job is, as a pastor and a Christian, is to expose evil, tell the truth. And for those that are seeking the truth, lead them to it as you would a child to drink of water. We're not here to drive them away, but to draw them in. We're not here to tolerate your evil either. We're here to preach the truth. The tolerance is tolerance of evil is a creed of cowards and fools. It's just that easy. A guy named Gustus Leon wrote this: "In the masses have never thirsted after truth. They turn aside from evidence that is not to their taste, preferring to deify error if error seduced them. Whoever can supply them with the illusions is easily their master. Whoever attempts to destroy their illusions is always their enemy." Isn't that the truth? That's the way it is. Unfortunately, in today in America, even telling the truth of God's word and calling abomination abomination, evil evil, makes enemies very quickly. There was a time when you were applauded, even by non-Christians, if you took a stand for what's right. But today, even the pastors and churches sometimes will want to stone you for telling the truth. That shouldn't discourage us. That should encourage us. Opposition can be a sign that you're going in the right direction. Understand that. Satan is not going to oppose those that's going his way. He's going to encourage them along. Folks, our enemy has been at this all along. We've been alive. He's learned a lot of tricks along the way. And the Word of God tells us that we shouldn't be deceived by his shenanigans. We shouldn't be deceived by his snares and cottony snares. We should know better than that. But unfortunately, we don't always pay attention. Or we don't learn as quickly as we should, and we walk right into them. Knowledge of how to do evil far exceeds our understanding of all these tricks, except through the Word of God. Satan is so evil that it's hard for a common man to understand or even begin to conceive how evil he is, just like it is how for a common man to understand the true holiness of the Almighty God. Our minds cannot conceive in both directions at all. We're somewhere in between. We're seeking to serve God, following at best, but trying to do what's right for His glory. And as decent men, even those who are not born again, a lot of them are decent moral men and women that are totally disgusted with the evil around them. And that's great, but the sad part is, unless they accept Christ as Savior, no matter how good they are in this earth, they're going to hell anyway. That's sad. And the phone number is open. I can't believe nobody's calling. 844-769-2944. 844-769-2944. I hope somebody is listening tonight and understand what I'm saying. I'm not trying to discourage you at all. I'm trying to encourage you that to know that the truth of God will transform you into what you need to be in Him. If we will yield ourselves toward it. You know, we're told in the scriptures that in the Old and New Testament both that He is a potter and we're the clay. He wants to make us to a vessel of honor. He wants us to make us to a vessel that will glorify Him. He wants us to be pliable to His molding and His will for our lives. That's what He wants for us. And He can, if we refuse, break us again, remold us. But folks, if He breaks us, it's for our own good and His glory. If we will yield ourselves to Him, He will make us a vessel of honor. If not, He will cast us aside. It's just the way it is. After all, He is God. Jehovah God, Yahweh God, He is God. He is the one who made us, not we Him. He's the one who gave us the scriptures. We didn't write them. He's the one who gave us a way to come to Him through His Son. With the price paid for by His Son. A tremendous cost to His Son and to Him to redeem us and bring us back to Him. Out there somewhere tonight in all these stations that carry this broadcast, someone tonight, somewhere, Listen, my voice is suffering. I know you are. I know you're out there. That's a given. Maybe you think you're living in Christ, but you're not, and your conscience is right now pricking you, and it's the Holy Spirit speaking to you, telling you need to change. I ask you to pay heed to that. Maybe you're a drug addict. Maybe you're an alcoholic. Maybe you're a thief or a liar, adulterer, fornicator, homosexual, sodomite, lesbian. I don't. Up there tonight somewhere listening to my voice is someone who needs to know the truth. And while I cannot and will not condone evil and or sin in your lives, I can say it's okay. I won't say it's okay. I will tell you that there's a way out. I have the answer. It won't cost you a penny. Unless you're a thief, then you quit stealing. Maybe get an honest job. But it will give you a peace that you've never had before. It'll take away the hurt that this world's giving you. Maybe your parents abused you. Maybe you weren't given much of a chance in life and you're rebelling and you're angry and you're fighting back the only way you know how and you're destroying and bitter over this. That can be changed by the power of God through His Son, Jesus Christ. By His grace and by His mercy, He can change that into something wonderful in you. He can take you a vessel that's right now full of all manner of evil and bitterness and hatred and strife and frustration and all, no matter what it may be. He can take that vessel, clean it out, and use it for His glory and give you love and peace and joy and contentment and a whole lot more than that. Now, I didn't say it's going to make you rich. No, I don't teach a prosperity gospel. I'm not asking you to sow a seed for $1,000 here. No, I'm not going to do that. That is almost blasphemy. I'm not going to do that. I'm offering you something for free. And by the way, if you ever want to talk to me, you can talk to me on the air if you want to at 844-769-2944. The phones are very quiet. Or you can call me tomorrow in the office. You can call the office. We have answer service. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. On Thursday, we answer the phone to yourself in the office. We're in the office all day from 9 to 4 Eastern time on Thursdays. But Lisa answers the phone for us during the week. And if you need to talk to me, she will find me somewhere, and I will call you back. That's a promise. You can call us, or you can order the book I mentioned, The Grand Design Exposed, if you're a Christian and want to see more truth. You can order the teaching I'm doing right now on Easy Believism, if you want it, for $10.50. CD or DVD, your choice. But nonetheless, you can call and talk to me. And if you don't have long distance, call toll-free, 800-777-4403. 800-777-4403. And leave your name and number, and I will call you back. If you do have long distance, you'll bless us if you'll call a number, a toll number, at 304-846-4448. 304-846-4448. I want to help if I can. And folks, I promise you that I can help you by the grace of God change your life into something that is tolerable for you. And as you grow in Christ, no, the world's not going to change around you. The world's not going to change around you, folks. It isn't going to do it. It just isn't going to do it. We have got a couple calls in. I didn't even see them. I'm sorry. That's my fault. But the world isn't going to change around you. But you can change inside and then help change the world around you with your family and friends. All right, let's start first, I think, with Gary in Arizona. Gary, you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Butch.
Come on in, sir. Sorry, I didn't see you come up here. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, it's kind of odd because I got so heavy anymore. Everybody sees me. That's just a little bit of humor.
Yeah, I understand. So, I do. You already I understand.
Okay, I want to read just one verse of Scripture here, okay?
Sure.
Okay, Jesus in the wilderness temptation. Okay, but he answered it to the devil. You know, he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God.
Yes.
Now, I got this King James Bible in my hand, and every word in here came from the Word of God.
Yes.
Every single word here. Now, the other day when I was out in my street ministry, there was a new guy that came to help me, and thank God that he did. I finally got a couple people to help me now. But I asked him this question. I said, I'll change his name. James, do you ever have anybody, you know, cuss at you or say vile things about you where you were walking down the street with the Bible on the way to church? And he says, no. And I says, how about coming out? And he says, no, nobody's ever done that. And I told him this statement here. I said, I'm going to tell you, most people will not take offense if you're carrying a Bible, but they will take offense when you open it. And the signs that I put on the street, you know, it says, what is abortion? And the other sign says, the killing of a preborn child. That is the word of God.
Yes, it is.
And God says, thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not do no murder. That's what that says.
That's right.
So when we were out there on the street, you know, there was at least 8 or 10 cars full of people that went by and cussed at us. And that's because we opened the word. And people get to see the signs that we write, which a lot of them have scripture on them. We also have what you quoted by Dietrich Bonhoeffer on one of those signs.
Right.
You know, plus the pictures of the babies that are slaughtered. And we have pictures of mothers kissing their baby. All of that is in the Word of God.
Sure it is.
And so I was, you know, we had a very good outreach. I'm glad to say this last time. But it all comes by the Word of God.
Amen. It does.
And that's why I quoted that scripture there. God bless you, Butch.
Yeah, thank you. And by the way, I'll make one comment before you leave. The Bible says thou shalt not kill. That means thou shalt preserve life. Is that right?
Right.
He's going, okay, that's right. That's right. Okay, well, thanks, Carl.
Just one, give me another minute, okay?
Yeah.
Another minute. I try to explain to people. You know, the curse of the law, you know, you hear that all the time. Jesus nailed the curse to the cross, and he did. But that's because you violate it. But, I mean, if you look at the Ten Commandments, the basic thing, that is the common law to everybody.
Sure it is.
I mean, nobody wants somebody to kill you. Nobody you know, somebody to lie about you. Nobody wants, you know, to cover your wife. You know, you don't want your wife to commit adultery on you. See, that's common to all man.
Yes, it is. It is.
And when God comes and lives in your heart, he brings the Spirit of God within your heart. Therefore, you will do your best to honor those commandments.
Amen.
It's just
Amen.
That simple.
It is simple. It's not complicated.
Right. You turn yourself, and I'm going to tell you another thing that goes is really going on in these churches that make things difficult. You know, they preach to these people, just repent, confess Jesus Christ, and you will receive the Holy Ghost.
Right.
Well, most of these people, you got to tell them what sin is.
They don't
what
tell them what sin
is. See, they don't tell them that.
No, they don't.
And preach that. To where they know exactly what they're repenting of.
If they don't know what they've done,
the very Spirit of God.
Amen. If they don't know what sin is, what you're right. How do they repent? Gary, I got to jump. Good points. Thanks for the call. Appreciate it. Bless your heart, brother. Hang in there. Okay. Thanks for the call. Let's go next to Ohio and talk to Rick. Rick, welcome. Come on in.
Hey, Pastor Bush. Can you hear me okay?
I sure can, sir.
It's been a long time since I've talked to you. There's a lot of issues and things that have been happening in my life. But I was wanting to find out, what's the day did you say we could call and talk to you at the office?
On Thursday.
What time was it?
Between 9 and 4 Eastern.
9 and 4. Okay, and my next question is, what's your opinion about President Trump, where we stand? Is he going to help us or hurt us?
And, you know, this is almost just like it is. No, there's not.
I didn't want the other side. I
understand. I vote independent myself, but no man can help this country. Because without repentance, a nation cannot be turned around. And
well,
America is not repenting.
Right there. I just didn't. I was just wondering, you know, what kind of road we're headed down since, you know, we got him in there now. And
well,
I see it that they more they want him out, the more I feel like he might be better than what we would have had.
Well, that's possible, but nonetheless, again, without repentance in the people, it isn't going to change.
Yeah, they don't think it's going to
Yeah. No, man can't change it. It has to start in the hearts of men to repent before God and ask for forgiveness and turn from the wicked ways. And America is not doing that.
I never seen so much evil. I never seen the school system. The homosexuality they're indoctrinating the kids. It's coming unglued. Everything is.
When Austin, Texas, teaching 8-year-olds how to have anal sex.
Oh my goodness! I haven't heard that one.
Yep, that's true. Well, Rick, you call back anytime, okay? You call back anytime.
Yes, I have a lot to talk to you about. I won't hold the phones up. I'll call back Thursday.
I'll see you there.
Hey, thank you, Pastor.
Oh, you're welcome. Bye bye. All right, let's come next to Mike in North Carolina. Mike, welcome.
Hey, Bud.
Hey, sir. Can you hear me? Yeah, I'm here.
Yeah, I hear you finally. I was having some phone trouble.
Okay.
Hey, man, you mentioned patience, and I'm really thankful for what I've been holding on listening, and I needed to hear every word of it. It's hard, buddy, when this world hammers at you. And I see people like Gary, and he's standing tall. He's setting a good example, and he's absolutely right. You know, you can, people will wave at you when you've got a cross or sign of the fish maybe on your hat or your shirt, but they don't want to talk about it much, and people aren't really looking to Jesus for salvation. They're looking to Trump.
They are. And, they are.
I guess you've seen that 12-year-old girl did a complete genealogical study on all the
presidents. Yeah, I did. Yeah, I knew that quite a while back. That was done before. Not the same exact one, but in that area. They all come from royalty.
Yeah, that's right. They're all related.
Yeah.
It's Illuminati bloodline, I guess. We're strange times we're living in, but... Man, I'm really glad you're there. I really need you.
Well, thank you, brother.
Struggling every day. I mean, the world's hammering at you, and sometimes it's difficult, you know. Remember, we
were told that greater is He that's in us than He that's in the world.
Hey, and I appreciate you there keeping me straight.
All right, brother. I'll do my best. I'm running out of switches. Okay. Hurry up.
you might need a bigger one too.
Thanks for the call, Mike.
Love you.
God bless you. I'll see you Thursday in the office. All right, let's go next to Addison in Ohio. My brother Addison, come on in, Addison. How you doing?
Oh, just fine, Pastor. Hey, I got a confession to make.
Okay.
I made a pot roast. You've heard of the sin of gluttony.
I don't preach on that one, buddy.
I ate the whole thing, and now I got heartburn. That'll teach me.
That'll teach you. Absolutely.
Hey, folks, listen. Tonight, Pastor gave us another wonderful message, and these messages is very hard. They're very hard, and we need to look in our hearts and take to heed what he's saying. Right now, there's very, very few pastors that we can come and be fed. A few, what was it, about a month ago, Pastor, the lady that promised the money passed away.
Yes, yeah, well, she passed away a few months ago, yes.
Okay, and... what a blessing that she left this ministry. God
bless. Oh, yes.
This. Folks,
yes.
We're getting on multiple radio stations right now. And these little messages that Pastor Butch, little teachings that he's given us out, you're not hearing this any other place. What I'm trying to say is, let's keep Pastor Butch on these radio stations so that more and more people can hear, because we're not getting it any other place. We're very, very few churches that have the steeples, the bells, and the pews. Are we getting this? And people will argue, and I just turn around in a circle and say, look at the nation. Look at the nation today.
Yep.
So it's our duty to come together as one. lift each and every other brother and sister up and help. Because we're not going to get this any other place. This is very important. And I wish that I could do more.
Yeah, brother, you're there for us. That means a lot. That being there means a lot. And I'll ask you one question. You were there when I taught the first half on the lesson, the fallacy of easy believism. How important is that?
You're going to lose your soul with easy believism. It's
Amen.
That simple. They bring you in, they stack you and pack you, and you're not getting fed. And by the way, I come from a Southern Baptist church, Pastor. That was my teaching. Once saved, always saved. If you're not a Southern Baptist, you ain't making it to heaven. Well, I found out that I fell way short.
Yeah,
in my theological beliefs.
We all do. Brother, we're down the last few seconds here, but I want to thank you, Addison, for being with us for so long, and give you a pretty half a hug for us, will you?
Heck no.
Oh, come on now.
Heck no, she'll probably beat me up from it if I can't rub them off. Hey, we love you.
Love you too.
Let you go.
All right, brother, have a good one. Folks, down the last minute or so, and I do want to thank you for being with us. I do. And if you pray for us, I appreciate it. If you can help us keep this thing going, appreciate it too. I'll see you tomorrow night with James McCanny. You're in for a treat tomorrow night. We'll see you there. Bye-bye.
On the battlefield, Satan's armies come to kill. This is war. Satan's army roams the land, seeking souls of fallen men.
Melody Cederstrom and CSE Talk Radio team up as Common Sense Voices of Integrity. I personally endorse Melody Cederstrom to be your trusted go-to expert for all your precious metal needs. Experts agree a financial crisis and even collapse is inevitable. Given our government's lack of economic leadership and self-interests of those in power, it's no longer a question of if you should purchase gold and silver, but if you will purchase gold and silver before it's too late. Melody encourages you to tune in each weekday morning. Visit CSETalkRadio.com. We both agree truth and education are the two significant factors in both our missions. There is a wealth of misinformation out there. Let Melody and Beth Ann help you sort through the chaos and bring you home to the truths that will ensure that you and your family are protected. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading 1-800-375-4188 or online at dgscoins.com. Melody and Beth Ann are strong forces together working to preserve liberty and bring America home.